We can alter our convictions to adapt to social realms, but we cannot change the gospel or the truth contained within. It's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. Though some may say it's man's religion or ancient history, the cross of Jesus still remains the price for sin that sets us free. It's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. It's still the cross. It's still the cross. You're welcome to do that. If it wasn't all right, the Bible wouldn't have said to do it. Isn't that right? The Bible doesn't say you ought to praise Him. It says praise the Lord. And these are instruments of praise. Do you believe that? We build with them. We punish with them. We do a lot of things with these instruments. Their first responsibility is to give God praise. I believe that. I am so glad you've chosen to be here. It's a blessing to me. I'm glad you don't have snow like we have in New York. We had 54 degrees in New York today. We have snow and swamp. Got all the ice out of the driveway, and I heard, so. Well, I've been doing this a long time. I am in my 53rd year of Christian music this year. Started when I was an infant. In all those years I've been traveling, a lot of people ask me, did you ever get to do any concerts overseas? And I actually have. Three foreign countries. I've done concerts in Canada. I now speak fluent Canadian. I have done concerts in Belize in Central America, and I've done concerts in New York City. So, three foreign countries. Is it too loud? Is it too soft? Can you hear the words? We're friends already. Great. Well, I'm on my way to the kingdom. You are with me? This song talks about the fact that even though there's a way that is broad that leads where? To destruction. There's also a narrow way, a straight way to the kingdom. I'm on the way called straight. I'm walking the way called straight. That leads me to those pearly gates. I know someday I'll reach that heavenly place, walking the way called straight. Now in the Bible we are told Saul was on Damascus Road, seeking to destroy every Christian in the way. A light from heaven flashed around. He heard a voice into the ground. He fell as Jesus spoke to him, "Rise and do what I say." So Paul went walking on in God's way. He went walking the way called straight, that leads me to those pearly gates. I know someday I'll reach that heavenly place, walking the way called straight. For so long now I've traveled down this narrow road. Sometimes the way seems rocky with such a heavy load. But Jesus never promised me that there would be no pain. He just said that he'd go with me through the sun and through the rain. So I will not complain. I'll keep walking the way called straight. That leads me to those pearly gates. I know someday I'll reach that heavenly place, walking the way called straight. I'm walking the way called straight. That leads me to those pearly gates. I know someday I'll reach that heavenly place, walking the way called straight. I'm walking the way called straight. That leads me to those pearly gates. I know someday I'll reach that heavenly place, walking the way called straight. I'm walking the way called straight. I'm walking the way called straight. Throughout the program, I want to share some stories with you that I call parables to make you think and make you smile. I hope they do both. They help me kind of illustrate some of the things I want to share with you tonight. Heard a little bit of a, I rented these lips. I heard a little boy was in the lobby of a church, and he noticed something new up on the wall. The church had decided to honor those who had sacrificed their lives in the military, and they put a nice plaque together and put the names on it and hung it on the wall. Well, the little boy didn't know what it was. And finally, he tugged on his mommy. He said, "Mommy, who are those people?" She said, "Those are the ones who died in the service." He said, "8:30 or 11 o'clock?" Folks, I want all of you to make sure that you're alive and well here tonight. I get into a lot of churches and people come in, sit down, get a sour look on their face, cross their arms. They don't move or blink for the next hour and a half. I believe there should be joy in God's presence. Amen? There should be, His house should be alive. And so tonight I hope you will feel free to enjoy being in God's presence, first of all, and also a time of Christian fellowship and ministry. All right? You can relax, you can loosen your tie if you have one, and it'll be great. I'm glad for God's word, amen? We're living in times when claiming God's promises gets more and more important and more noticeable that we need His word. And I like to do Southern gospel music. This song, they say if you're going to do Southern gospel, you have to do at least one song in three-quarter time. I don't read music. I have no idea what that means, but this is in three-quarter time. It says, "God's word will stand." Down through the ages, people have tried to stop the power of God's word. They've tried to control it, even ignore it, anything so it could not be heard. But the word has survived its very a scoffer's horn, threatenings of every kind. The eternal survival of that old black Bible, its truth will never end. So whatever may come, when it's all said and done, God's word will stand. Its power, it's still God's inerrant word. And from cover to cover, it's still the bestseller of any book in the world. And there in those pages are answers for nations and truths to guide their paths. And whatever they decide, they'll surely realize that God's word will stand. And I've taken my stand with the book in my hand. It stood the test of time. And it's weathered the storm while scoffers warn, threatenings of every kind. The eternal survival of that old black Bible, its truth will never end. So whatever may come, when it's all said and done, God's word will stand. Well, I've taken my stand with the book in my hand. It stood the test of time. And it's weathered the storm while scoffers warn, threatening of every kind. The eternal survival, that old black Bible, its truth will never end. So whatever may come, when it's all said and done, God's word will stand. So whatever may come, when it's all said and done, God's word will stand. Oh my God, word will stand. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're here to praise the Lord tonight, and this is one of the most cleverly written songs I've ever heard, and I'm glad it talks about praising God. Not just the fact that we're going to be praising Him in heaven forever, but He is just as worthy tonight as He will be the day we walk through the gates of the city. And if you want to tap your toe, clap your hands on this one, that's fine. It says, when I get carried away. Beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I don't know why I become a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people, and I can't figure out why I never can shout about the love that floods my soul. I must confess I can't express feelings deep inside me, but things I know and cannot show one day will overflow. And I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I'll pass the clouds and shout so loud it may sound like thunder, and my tear-filled eyes may fill the skies until it looks like rain. As I leave this world past the gates of pearl and stand before my Savior, I let my soul let the glory roll, and from the roll He calls my name. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna let the glory roll.
beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away.
I'm glad you're here to praise the Lord tonight. I was out in the Midwest several years ago, and it was on a Wednesday evening, and about 60 adults came out. They're wonderful people and very nice people. I had no idea they were nice people until the program was over. I stood in front of those folks for an hour and a half. Not one of them smiled. Not one of them laughed. Not one of them sang. Not one of them responded in any way at all. They were the nicest group of comatose people I've ever spent time with. And I'm sorry. Well, it was a miracle, maybe. I'm just not sure what song it was. So anyway, I got all finished and everybody got up out of their seats and they walked into the lobby, and for the first time that evening they started smiling and looking happy. Maybe they were just glad it was all over. I'm not sure, but anyway, several years ago a pastor was talking to me after a concert and telling me that he was really enjoying a study he had been doing on praise. He said, let me recommend some material to you. And I got excited about it, and I spent 3 months in the scriptures discovering what the Bible says about praising God. Went back to the original languages, every reference to praise in the Bible, dug pretty deeply, and I found out there's more about praise in the Bible than there is about heaven and prayer and a lot of other things put together. And I decided that we should be praising people, amen? I mean, what would you rather have on your gravestone? You know, he ate veggie burgers or he praised God? You know, to me, there's sometimes we put a lot of emphasis in one area and forget others. We're going to be praising God in heaven forever. The Bible says in Romans, the angels praise God in heaven continually. That's how important it is to them. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. We have more to praise God for than the angels. And so tonight, I hope you will determine to be a praising person. God is worthy, first of all. But I believe to the extent that he is worthy, we have a need within us to offer him praise and glory. And I think it's a ministry that as we come together, we express our adoration to God. It inspires others. And I just can't wait to hear the angels sing. And then at some point, the angels will be silent. Because there's a song we have, the Lord has written, that we're going to be able to sing. The song of the redeemed. And I'm just honored that I can kind of get a head start here and praise the Lord with this ministry all over the country. Thanks for coming to share it tonight. We're going to have to play a little bit with the keys back there, but I wrote this song when I finished my praise study. I wanted it to be my offering of adoration to God, and I recorded this as a solo many, many years ago. Well, a while back, since I've gotten to know quite a few of the groups in the Gaither homecoming programs, I sing with some of them sometimes, wonderful people. I wanted them to hear some of my music that I had written in their form. And so I found three guys to sing with me, and then they found out that I couldn't pay them. So we started going in the studio in the morning to do the low parts. In the evening, I went in and sang the high parts, and I decided to do some demos with me singing all the four parts. And we were kind of happy with the way things came out, so I went ahead and made a whole CD of 10 songs that I've written. It's called Four Voices, One Heart, and I had a blast doing this project. But the levels are different on the iPod back there, so we're going to have to play with it a little bit. This says, I will not keep silent.
looks at me, he sees a child who needs raising. And when I look at the Lord, I see a father who needs praising. And I will not keep silent, I will praise the Lord. When I see him as he is, I will praise him as I should. For he is worthy of praise. All that God has made, he created to praise him. The land, the sky and waters, and all that is between. But only men and angels can praise him by their choices. And since I know the Father, I choose to praise his name. And I will not keep silent, I will praise the Lord. When I see him as he is, I will praise him as I should. For he is worthy of praise. He gave me my mind to remember all his blessings, to think of all the reasons that I should praise his name. He gave me my voice to speak and to sing and shout his praises. And he said to clap and raise my hands, and his word is still the same. And I will not keep silent, I will praise the Lord. When I see him as he is, I will praise him as I should. For he is worthy of praise.
A young man was riding a bicycle. He had a knapsack on his back, and he rode that bicycle up to the gate of Mexico. And they said, "Welcome to our country. Would you please show us the contents of your knapsack?" So the young man unzipped it, tipped it over, and poured it out. It was full of sand. The next day he came riding through on a bicycle with a knapsack on his back, right to the same border guard, same number. "Welcome to our country. Please show us the contents." He poured it out again. It was full of sand. He did the same thing every day for 6 weeks. One day the border guard was off duty. He was walking through town, and as he looked over and glanced over at this little outdoor cafe, there that young man was sitting. He went right for him. He said, "Listen, young man, we don't know what's going on. We haven't figured it out. We know something illegal is taking place. We know that you must be smuggling something into our country. He said, it's keeping us, he said, it's keeping me awake at night. He said, off the record, will you please tell me, what are you smuggling into this country? The young man said, bicycles. Isn't it amazing how things can be happening right under your nose and you have no clue what's going on? I think that's what's going on in our world today. Things are taking place, and those who don't know the Lord and don't know His Word don't have a clue what's going on. The Lord has spelled out how things are going to take place in the closing days of Earth's history, and we're watching them take place rapidly. I just want to praise God tonight for the Christian perspective that He's allowed us, as we have chosen, to go ahead and study His Word, become familiar with what He has shared with us so that we have some kind of a roadmap, some kind of a timeline of the way things are going to happen so that we can know that our redemption's drawing nigh. Amen? I love stories about perspective. My favorite one is about the snail. The snail was crossing the road. It was run over by a turtle. And so when they did the accident report, they asked the snail, can you tell us what happened? He said, I have no idea. It all happened so fast. It's all perspective. A tiny little town, they called it Bethany. Just a village there, not really much to see. A place to which the Savior could depart when the world was closing in around His heart. Jesus loved that little town, for there He could abide with three who understood and stayed right at His side. And oh, the joy He brought that family when He raised their brother there at Bethany. Bethany was the place my Savior stayed to rest a while on the night before He prayed. A place that Jesus knew that He could go to be with people He knew loved Him so. Anywhere that Jesus chose to roam, Bethany was the place He could call home. Savior, as You bring Your love through me, won't You make my heart Your Bethany? Amen. Most songs that people sing in a concert usually are about singing something to the Lord or about the Lord or about God's people. Or this is one of those unique songs where God is doing the talking. And tonight, if you're going through difficulty, if things have happened, you're kind of trusting if God is really in control of things in your life. If you're struggling in an area, if you just kind of feel numb about things, maybe God can give you something out of this song you might need. It's called The Promise.
Oh. I never said that I would give you silver or gold, or that you'd never feel the fire or shiver in the cold. But I did say you'd never walk through this world alone. And I did say, don't make this world your home. I never said that fear wouldn't find you in the night, or loneliness was something you'd never have to fight. But I did say, I'll be right there by your side. And I did say, I'll always help you fight. 'Cause you know I made the promise that I intend to keep, and my grace will be sufficient in every time of need. My love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise. This is the promise I've made to you. I never said that friends wouldn't turn their backs on you, or that the world around you wouldn't see you as a fool. But I did say, like me, you'll surely be despised. And I did say, my ways confound the wise. I didn't say you'd never taste the bitter kiss of death, or walk through chilly Jordan to enter into rest. But I've offered you heaven, and on this you can rely. I did say, I'll dry every tear you cry. 'Cause you know I made the promise that I prepared a place, and someday sooner than you think, you'll see me face to face. You'll sing with the angels and countless multitudes. Oh, this is the promise. This is the promise I've made to you. So just keep on walking, don't turn to the left or right. And in the midst of darkness, let me be your light. Man cannot separate us, we're gonna make it through. This is the promise. This is the promise I've made to you. Oh, this is the promise. This is the promise I've made to you.
Mother went to the bottom of the stairs on a Sabbath morning and called up to her son. She said, son, it's time to get up and go to church. He called back down, I don't want to go. She said, come on, it's time to get up and get ready and go to church. He said, I don't feel like it. She said, I'm going to give you two good reasons why you need to get up out of that bed and get ready for church. He said, first of all, you're 47 years old. Secondly, you are the pastor. How many of you got up this morning and said, I'm going to church? How many got up and said, I'm going to worship? I know I'm going to get a lot less hands for worship than I do for church. Is there a difference? Absolutely. See, I could have flown in like I did last night and got a rental car like I did last night and pulled in here this morning into the parking lot and called home and said, I just went to church in Mount Vernon, Washington. Not until I came inside and participated could I say that I worshiped. Amen? Otherwise, the first angel's message of Revelation would be, fear God, give glory to Him, and church Him. Doesn't make sense. I just finished a study on worship, and I'd like to share a few thoughts with you. I preached recently on this. And the most beautiful and most sensible definition I could find on reverence or on worship is this. Worship is when God's people bring God divine pleasure. You like that? When God's people bring God divine pleasure. I'm on the road about 10 days a month doing concerts. I'm out here doing this weekend and next weekend, 4 concerts, and then I'm taking some time off in between with family. By the way, my nephew, Jake, and his wife, Tina, are here, the two little munchkins. Riley and Braylon. And Braylon, you feeling okay? She's been having some trouble. Pray for Braylon, okay? Anyway, I get to a different church 2 or 3 times a month. I only see my home church once or twice a month. And something happens nearly every service. I kind of struggle with it. I understand it, but usually goes like this. At the beginning of the service, someone goes to the pulpit, bows his or her head, and says, Heavenly Father, we invite your Spirit to come and be with us. I know that sounds nice. I know that it is sincere. But I'm not sure it works that way. I haven't figured out how we come into God's house, into His presence, and then invite Him into His presence when it's not even our own house. You know, it'd be like somebody going to your house and inviting you to come into your own house. I believe the truth is that God asks us to make a place to meet with Him, and He invites us into His presence. You like that? It makes it more exciting for me. The Creator of the universe says, come in my house. Spend time with me. And if you lift me up, be even better. I have some friends that are very nice people. Raising children is not their strong point. Oh. Ooh, baby. They have 2 kids. One was born in the spring. One was born in the fall. The 2 children are so jealous of each other at birthday time and make such a horrible scene for everybody. The parents have solved the problem by giving gifts to both children on both birthdays. How would you like to have something in your honor and somebody else get the gifts? And yet, in most services, we approach that. Because we say, Lord, we've come for a blessing today. Bless us in this service. Bless us on your day. We've come for a blessing. In all of my study, I have found no place where it says that we come to worship to get anything. But the Bible does say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that's within me, bless what? His holy name. Worship is not about us. It's about Him. It's about us coming into His presence and honoring Him, lifting Him, praising Him, recognizing Him for all that He is and all that He's done. And by the way, that's what reverence is. Reverence is not sitting still and being quiet. That's sitting still and being quiet. Reverence is internal. Reverence is recognizing Him for all that He is and all that He's done. And the outward expression of that reverence is praising God and worshiping Him. So this afternoon, if you really, really want to be reverent, you might need to be expressive. Does that make sense? I like that. Growing up, I was I was convinced that you came to get a blessing when you went to church. I didn't know what a blessing was. If I gave out 20 pieces of paper and a pen tonight and asked each of you to tell me what a blessing is, I'd get 14 different answers. We use that word blessing, and it's a nice word. But I was a teenager. I didn't know what blessing meant, but I would keep coming. And when I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know if I got it, didn't know if I got the blessing I was supposed to get or not, I started feeling awkward. And then I started feeling guilty. And I found out that it was easier to handle the guilt if I was in the lobby or the parking lot or at home than it was to be feeling guilty in God's presence. I wish I'd known then that I wasn't coming to get a blessing. I was coming to be a blessing to the Lord. I try whenever I walk through the doors into a worship service to ask God's Spirit to help me be in an attitude of worship. I don't always get there, but I try. Excuse me. I always thought that you came to get a blessing, as I said, and I thought that you always came empty to get filled. I don't believe that anymore either. I believe we're supposed to be coming filled to get emptied. Shouldn't we be coming filled with praise, filled with gratitude, filled with joy? We're God's children. Amen? We should be coming filled with confession, commitment, repentance, time, energy, creativity, dollars. What are we bringing as gifts to God? You know, most churches have some kind of an altar, you know, kind of a symbol. But shouldn't we symbolically be, in reality, bringing our gifts to God? You know, I'm kind of thinking that there should be enough praise in a worship service that we leave a little bit hoarse. You know, singing our hearts out. I'm drinking water, so I don't. But I think we should be putting more energy into our worship. God has designed us the way we are so that we can praise Him better than any other part of creation. And I think when we get in our minds that worship and praise are not about us, they're about Him, and we are being invited into His presence, it changes the whole dynamic for me. And I hope just those few thoughts will be something you can carry with you and consider and pray about, and maybe it'll change your attitude about worship, and maybe it'll change others. And by the way, my most recent study I've been doing is on worship evangelism. You don't hear those two things together very often. The idea is that the essence of evangelism is not giving people a list of things to believe to become a member of something. Evangelism is bringing people into the presence of God. And when God's people come together, and with their voices and their expressions and their thoughts and their commitments are being offered to God, and people can hear and see and experience it. And God, in turn, is making Himself known to His people through the written word, the spoken word, through the power of His Spirit in our minds. That reciprocal motion becomes the most fertile soil for someone who does not know God to want to know who He is. And so, your praise can be evangelism in God's presence. Your commitment to God can be an element of evangelism. Your joy, your positive attitude, your commitment to the Lord. Amen? I like those things. Praise the Lord. I want to change the tempo here a little bit. When I left New York, it was 4 below. With 16 inches of partly cloudy on the ground. Well, we had over a foot of snow, and then we had rain, and then it froze, and then it snowed on top of that. And so everything was just slick. And so I'm glad I'm not there. But when I think about what we have to put up with in the wintertime, I realize, well, at least we're not having, where I live, we don't have hurricanes, and we don't have tornadoes, and we have a lot of other things. Other places do, so we have a few months of cold weather, so it's not so bad. But I do think sometimes it would be nice in the middle of February to be around some palm trees and, you know, sand and crystal clear water and warm, gentle breezes. So I wrote this a while back, and in the studio, we kind of thought it was going to be kind of a bluegrass sort of tune, and we couldn't get it to go bluegrass, but we did get it to go this way. And this is from my quartet project. And so pretending you're sitting with your toes in the sand, you're surrounded by palm trees, beautiful blue water, and all those things that the Caribbean holds. And let's go to the Caribbean for a minute. This says, Call the Carpenter. It feels warmer, doesn't it? When your drains are plugged and your pipes are frozen, your faucets drip all day, I'm sure you call the plumber before you float away. When your car won't move and your engine stops and your tire's too flat to roll, you count on your mechanic to get you on the road. Well, these are folks we always call to fix our broken toys, but there is nothing they can do to bring back all the joy when this world we're in and the weight of sin have torn your life apart. You need to call the carpenter to mend your broken heart. Now, if your leg bone's broken, you're out of pills, and Obamacare will not pay, well, eat your daily apple and call the doctor anyway. And when the game is on and your TV quits and the Seahawks are down by 4, and you have to count on your brother-in-law to get the final score, well, these are folks we always call to fix our broken toys. There is nothing they can do to bring back all the joy when this world we're in and the weight of sin have torn your life apart. You need to call the carpenter to mend your broken heart. Now, if your dog can't bark and your cat won't purr and your bird can't sing along, well, take your pet to see the vet. He'll restore their songs. If you get cellular static from family and friends, call AT&T for service and get your cell phone going again. Well, Jesus is the answer to each and every need. He's built a bridge of hope that crosses to eternity. So in this world we're in and the weight of sin have torn your life apart, you need to call the carpenter to mend your broken heart. And Jesus is the carpenter. He'll mend your broken heart. Billy and Dean were good friends. They lived across the street from each other. They played together almost every day. Out behind Dean's house was an old shed. The boys played out there quite a bit. One day, Dean was out behind the shed, and he was throwing rocks around. And one got away from him and went right through the window of the shed. He said, "Oh, man, my dad's going to kill me." But then he thought for a minute. He said, "You know what? Dad hardly ever comes out to the shed, so by the time he does, I'll have a good story." Well, for whatever reason, Dean's dad came home that day and needed something out of the shed. And as soon as he opened the door, there was the glass and there was the rock. And his first reaction was, "Dean, get over here." Dean came running. He had no idea what was going on. He was not prepared. His dad said, "Who broke the window in the shed?" Dean said the first thing that came to his mind, "Billy did it." And so Dean's dad marched right across the street to Billy's house. Billy's dad answered the door. He said, "Hey, Mel, what's going on?" He said, "Where's Billy?" He said, "Why?" He said, "He broke the window in my shed." Billy's dad said, "Wow, when did that happen?" He said, "This morning." Billy's dad said, "Well, that's kind of interesting, because Billy's been at his grandmother's house for the last week." And there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth all the way back to Dean's house. Didn't take long for the punishment to follow the action. My last concert was in Conorock, Virginia, and on my way home, I had about a 9-hour drive and saw quite a few occasions where there were two vehicles pulled off the road, two cars, and only one of them had blue lights. Didn't take long for the punishment to follow the action. We get in that mindset in this life. Punishment and action. And unfortunately, we kind of transfer that whole mindset to the judgment. And that's unfortunate. Especially for our young people. How many of you are looking forward to the judgment? Folks, I can't wait for the judgment. It's a good thing. Let me share a couple thoughts with you. I just finished a study on the judgment, and I'm pretty excited about this. You can disagree if you'd like. I think the judgment is a lot more simple than we've ever made it. And I believe if you wanted to put the judgment into one word, it would be this: grace. Amen? I am convinced that there is no other extreme. You could not write any different story and make it more extreme and more thorough than what Jesus did when his Father had him come to this world and be born a baby and go through all that he went through, the crucifixion and everything else. You cannot think of another story that is that extreme. Born in a manger. I mean, the whole story is unbelievable. But believable. God has shown complete, unbridled, complete grace. And I believe with all of his heart, he wants us with all of our hearts to embrace that grace, to celebrate that grace, to live like every breath is a result of that grace. Amen? And then he wants us to take that same grace and with his power and his spirit, unconditionally share it with other people as we meet them on a daily basis. If God loves them, we love them. If God forgives them, we forgive them. If God accepts them, we accept them. Amen? So here's how this makes sense to me. If you are willing and pursuing a life of God's grace, and you and he are walking together every day, that's an incredible thing. And the Bible says that love is the fulfillment of the law, right? Bible also says we're going to be judged by the law. So it makes sense to me that if we are walking with God, haven't we fulfilled those first four commandments that he wants us to do? And if we on a daily basis are letting the Lord work in us and through us and touching other people's lives the way he would, haven't we fulfilled the other six? That makes us children of grace. And there is a place in God's kingdom for children of grace. You believe that? I'm looking forward to the judgment. I don't have to fear it. I choose God every day. Amen? I ask Him to work in me and through me every day. That's all He asks. A young man decided he wanted his inheritance early. We all know the story. He went out and messed up his life. And finally, he found out there was nothing in the world he could trust except the fact that his dad loved him. He had a lot more than he thought. And he made his way home. And I see the picture kind of going like this. The father's sitting on the porch. The road went out from the house and it went down. And one day he was looking down the road and he noticed somebody coming up the road. All he could see was the head. And as the person kept coming up the rise there, he could see more and more of who it was. And finally, he got to see the shoulders and the body. And then all of a sudden, he recognized the walk. And he got up and he couldn't wait for his son to get to him, right? No, what did he do? He ran to meet him, amen? Can you just see the robe kind of flowing in the breeze and the sandals flopping up and down and the stone spitting out and the dust flying? And with all he had, he went and he got right to his son and he stopped dead in his tracks. And he got to him and he said, "You stink like pigs." Now, what did he do? He hugged him and he kissed him, amen? And then he said, "Where's all the money?" No, he didn't do that either. But I think he did do this. I see the two of them walking back to the house. The son got his arm around his dad's shoulder and he's kind of squeezing his dad's shoulder. And his dad is reaching around. He's got his son and he's holding on the same way. And with the other hand, the father is trying to cover his son's mouth. Because the son keeps saying things like, "Dad, is there any way that maybe I can come home? Is there any way that maybe I could be one of the hired hands? I'll live in the barn. You don't even have to pay me. I will change my last name." And the father said, "I don't want to hear it. Come on home. You're my son." And I see them walking back to the house, and then all the noise started. Because one of the servants said, "Something's going on." And the noise got louder, and finally the older brother heard it, and he said, "What's going on?" And the servant said, your brother's home." That loser said, "Yeah, your brother's home and your dad's throwing a huge party." And the older brother said, "I never had a party. I'm the one that stayed here. I've worked hard. I've earned my inheritance." And the older brother despised his father's grace. Folks, I don't think there is any sitting on the fence when it comes to grace. Either you're a child of grace or you're not. And if you're not a child of grace, if you're not walking with God every day, and if you're not allowing Him to work in you and through you to touch other people's lives, how does God find a place for someone who rejects His grace? So I hope all of you are children of grace tonight. And I hope all of you are looking forward to the judgment. Amen? This is one of the greatest songs I've ever heard in any way, but especially when it comes to grace. It says, "Jesus built a bridge."
Pieces of wood with a rugged cross, Jesus made a way. Jesus built a bridge the only way He could, so we could live in glory land someday. The Father's hand of grace the earth below on the hill. is here and never goes away. Jesus built a bridge you cannot burn. No matter where you are, you can return to the Father's house today. Jesus built a bridge you cannot burn. Now remember when you were close to the Lord. Now you have fallen far away. And you think for what you've done, the Father shut the door. Oh, but He is here with open arms today. Jesus built a bridge you cannot burn. No matter where you are, you can return to the Father's house today. Jesus built a bridge you cannot burn. To the Father's house today, there is always a way. With only three nails and two pieces of wood, with one rugged cross, Jesus built a bridge.
It's a privilege to sing a song like that, I guarantee you. Wow. I'm going to make this very simple. Started to run a little long. I think I got long-winded there for a few minutes. I don't charge a fee for the concerts that I do around the country. It'd be easier if I did. But God's people have been generous over the years, and the Lord continues to take care of my needs, and I praise Him for that, and I thank His people for being so supportive of concert ministry. I did this full time. I was on the road 300 days of the year for 15 years after I left Heritage. And then I was with a group called Family Reunion and some other groups I've been fired from. So I went solo in 1986. And I left the road to take care of my dad, and then he passed away, and then I'm taking care of my mom. And I've come up with a terminal blood disease, and I can't work anymore, so I had to retire early. And so I'm not only doing this as ministry, but I'm about 10 days a month I'm on the road, but I'm also doing this to supplement my income. And so I'm having a blast. This is wonderful. And so this evening, if you'd like to help provide for the needs, there's a plane ticket and a rental car and gas and food this trip. I'm always responsible for the food, the fuel, the tolls, my vehicle, motels, plane tickets, printing, postage, telephone, taxes, insurances, royalties, maintenance, repairs, inventory, and on and on and on. With all that in mind, if you'd like to give tonight, I will ask the Lord to give back double to you in a way that you need. You know, all the years I've been doing this, I've tried to serve the Lord, and there's never been a whole lot in my pocket. But the Lord has blessed me other ways. I haven't had a cold in 26 years. I can't sing if my voice isn't working. And God has been very generous that way. Got the blood disease, but it doesn't stop me from singing. So I praise His name for that. Keep me in your prayers with this, if you would. There's no cure, but there's some treatments, but they're pretty rough. There's a chemo element to it and all that. And it's about $60,000, and I'm about $59,500 short. But the Lord knows what He's doing, and so I'm going to praise Him no matter what. Amen? So any check needs to have my name on it. Any cash needs someone's picture on the front. Go ahead, young man, if you would, please. Gentlemen. Tomorrow I am at, go ahead. Tomorrow I'm at the Adventist Church in Seaside, Oregon. And then next Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, I will be in Roseburg, Oregon. And Sunday I'll be back up to Astoria, Oregon, at the Presbyterian Church there, doing a service for them. So this is a great time for me. 4 concerts and 5 days with family. I am blessed. And at some point, when my sister comes to visit my nephew and his wife, you need to have my sister come and sing. She's scary good. When she sings, I go sit in the corner and whimper. So, she is unbelievable. Not a bad sister either, you know. And as soon as my sound man gets back there, I'm going to start singing again. This is the title song for my newest project, and if you notice on the cover of the CD, it has me standing next to an elevator, and we have a choice whether we go up or down, amen, in this life. And this song says, wait a little while. In a little while we'll be going home. All the trouble and strife of this life forever will then be gone. We'll be walking on the streets of glory, singing redemption song. Wait a little while, 'cause in a little while we'll be going home. Now Satan's tried his best to make a mess of this world we're living in, but there's a better day coming, keep holding on, we're closer than we've ever been. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven to take His children home. Wait a little while, 'cause in a little while we'll hear that heavenly call. So wait a little while, 'cause in a little while we'll be going home. All the trouble and strife of this life forever will then be gone. We'll be walking on the streets of glory, singing redemption song. Wait a little while, 'cause in a little while we'll be going home. Now the grave will never hold me when they lay me in the ground, 'cause in the twinkling of an eye this body's gonna rise when I hear the trumpet sound. Mark it down, I'm gonna wear a crown in that city that's built four square. Wait a little while, 'cause in a little while, praise God, we'll soon be there. Wait a little while, 'cause in a little while, we'll be going home. All the trouble and strife of this life forever will then be gone. We'll be walking on the streets of glory, singing redemption song. Wait a little while, 'cause in a little while we'll be going home. Just wait a little while, in a little while we'll be going home. All the trouble and strife of this life forever will then be gone. We'll be walking on the streets of glory, singing redemption song. Wait a little while, 'cause in a little while we'll be going home. We'll be walking on the streets of glory, singing redemption song. Just wait a little while, 'cause in a little while we'll be going home, going home, going home. You may not know this, but there are three churches here in your area all struggling with the same issue right now. The buildings have gotten old, the foundations have shifted, cracks have opened up, and squirrels have found their way into all three buildings. And if you know anything about squirrels on the interior, they make a mess. And so the leadership of the three churches have had to meet so they can decide what they're going to do about their problem with the squirrels. Now, the first church met and they said, you know, this could just be God's will. He might be trying to teach us something. And so they've done nothing and the problem's getting worse. The second church met. They said, you know what? We need to solve this, but we can't harm God's creatures. And so they got safe traps and they captured the squirrels. They took them down to Everett, dropped them off, and a month later they were back. But the third church found the solution. They captured the squirrels, they baptized them, made them members of the church, and now they only see them Christmas and Easter. Folks, I hope your walk with the Lord is more than 2 days a year. And I hope it's more than 1 day a week. Every hour of every day, amen? By the way, thank you. I'm running a little long. I'm going to have to. You sure that's all right? Yeah, a couple more songs here. I don't know how late we started. It wasn't too bad, but I must have been long-winded today. I'm in another time zone. Time goes by differently. Folks, we're living in scary times. I praise God that He's in control. And He has a plan. And He said, if you stick with me, we'll get through this together. What more can we ask? The enemy wants to give us a lot of battles in our lives and keep us distracted so that we forget that even though we have battles, He's won the war.
Stood before their accusers, suffering in shame, yet they counted it a privilege to die in Jesus' name. These martyrs stood in victory and bravely raised their swords, and though they lost their lives that day, great is their reward. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Though we may suffer through the greatest pain, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, whom we're fighting for, well, we may lose a battle, but thank God we've won. Stood before the doctors, there was no more that they could do, yet he believed the great physician could make his body new. But even if his Savior chose to lay him down, on resurrection morning he'll receive a robe and crown. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Though we may suffer through the greatest pain, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, whom we're fighting for, well, we may lose a battle, but thank God we've won the war. Oh, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, whom we're fighting for, well, we may lose a battle, but thank God we've won the war. Let that run. Let it run. Let it get. is Christ. To die is gain. Though we may suffer through the greatest pain, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, whom we're fighting for, though we may lose a battle, but thank God we've won the war. Oh, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, whom we're fighting for, though we may lose a battle, but thank God we've won the war.
He's back there, hasn't made a mistake tonight, and I blew it. I didn't even tell him that was supposed to run on through. That's okay. A luncheon was planned in town. Two of the people invited to the luncheon were the local priest and the local rabbi. They happened to be good friends. It wasn't long after they arrived that the priest hurried over to the rabbi, and he said this, "You have got to try the ham." The rabbi said, "I don't eat that." The priest said, "I know, but this is the best I've ever had. You at least have to try it." The rabbi said, "I'm not going to try it." Well, the priest wouldn't take no for an answer, and 10 minutes later he was still pushing, and finally the rabbi said, "All right, I'll eat ham at your wedding." Where's your commitment tonight to the walk the Lord has called you to? Where's your commitment to what you believe? I believe we're living in pretty scary times, and maybe it's good for us to start taking regular inventory of where we are in our walk with the Lord. Because there's nothing here worth sacrificing that for. Every day we're getting one day closer to going home, and there's nothing here to hang on to. It's all about Him. He wants our commitment. He certainly showed His to us. Amen? He wants us to be committed to Him as well. This is my favorite story about commitment. One of my favorite stories I've ever told. This is for you, young man. A ship was on the ocean. The captain was surveying the horizon, and as he looked off into the distance, he could see an island. Looked through the binoculars and he could tell that there was smoke rising from the island, but when he checked the charts said uninhabited. He said, "Well, that can't be right." And so he was concerned, and so he steered closer to the island, he dropped anchor, and he sent a crew in a small boat. They got to the beach, they pulled the boat up onto the sand, and they looked up, and there were three huts. And they called out, "Is anybody here?" This man came running. He said, "I've been waiting 10 years to get rescued." They said, "Wonderful. Where's everybody else?" He said, "It's just me." They said, "Yes, but there are three huts." The man said, "I know." He said, "I live in that one. I go to church in that one." "Well, so what's the third one?" He said, "That's where I used to go to church." That's one of my favorite stories of all time. I did a church in New York City. Nobody got it. Since then, folks, most people leave the church because they don't like the people. He's the only one there. Oh, no. I'm going to skip one, young man. It's what I like to say about this song is, if it doesn't stir your soul, your spoon fell out of your bowl. The mountains will be shaken, but God's word will stand. Hope you like quartet music. Here we go.
Zion, oh Zion, are you listening to the signs? There is destruction coming in these final times. There'll be great tribulation. Praise God for for salvation. He won't abandon those safe in His love. The mountains will be shaken, the stormy wind will blow, the skies will rain unceasing, and the thunder is gonna roll. There will be fear and trembling all across this trouble-filled land. The mountains will be shaken, but the word of God will stand. Who will be faithful till the ending of the age? Who will declare His gospel while the nations rage? As for me and my house, we serve Him, although we don't deserve Him. I love the promise He won't leave His oath. The mountains will be shaken, and the stormy wind will blow, and the skies will rain unceasing, and the thunder is gonna roll. And there will be fear and trembling all across this trouble-filled land. The mountains will be shaken, but the word of God will stand. Oh, the mountains will be shaken, and the stormy wind will blow. Oh, the skies will rain unceasing, and the thunder is gonna roll. And there will be fear and trembling all across this trouble-filled land. The mountains will be shaken, but the word of God will stand. The word of God will stand. Will stand.
It was the second day of school. The teacher didn't know all the students' names yet. They didn't know each other. She wanted to find a way that would help everybody get acquainted better, more quickly, and so this was her idea. At the end of the day, she sent everybody home and said to come back the next day prepared for show and tell. She said, I want all of you to bring something from home that will help the rest of the class understand your religion a little better. So the next day it came time for show and tell, and the teacher said, little girl, why don't you start first? And she went to the front and she said, my name is Elizabeth. She said, I'm Catholic. I brought a rosary. The teacher said, thank you so much. It's very nice. Little boy over here, how about you? And he went to the front. He said, my name is Benjamin. He said, I'm Jewish. I brought a Star of David. The teacher said, I'm so glad you brought that. I appreciate it. Little boy in the back, what about you? He went to the front. He said, my name is Bobby. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I brought a satellite dish. Folks, I'm glad we have all the technology to send the gospel around the world. Amen? That's a blessing. What identifies you as a child of God tonight? What is it about you that on a moment's notice, when the Lord needs you to touch somebody's life that He can call upon, that's a part of you that He can develop and be effective for the kingdom? I believe each of us is different. We each have different gifts and abilities. And we put a lot of time and money and energy into some big projects to spread the gospel. But most of the time, the Lord gives us opportunities. They're very brief. And I believe we need to be prepared through His Spirit and willing to use whatever He's put within us. Now, I have a friend, no matter what's going on, good or bad, she says, praise God anyway. That's ministry. I have friends that will go out to eat, but they won't touch their food until they bow their head and thank the Lord for it. They're sharing good news, being grateful. I have friends that just have that winning smile that kind of calms everybody. I know friends who just had that reassuring touch. Everything's going to be all right. I have friends who just know how to listen. That's a gift. I want to fix everything. I interrupt people halfway through telling me their situation. I've already started to give them answers and solutions, and they don't want that. They want me to listen. That's a blessing to people. Where the Lord uses me the most besides doing this, I'm taking these dopey little stories that I'm telling, and I'm in the grocery store line, I'm waiting to get my car fixed, wherever I'm going, I'm telling these stories. And then I tell them why it's important in my walk with God. I am having an absolute blast serving the Lord. I'm doing what I love to do. And I like what I'm doing. I was attacked by a dog when I was 2. I've been afraid of dogs ever since. I don't picture the Lord sending me door to door. But my parents were both professional country music people, and then they met the Lord and started doing country gospel music. And I got into folk music and doing that in college, and then I got in with Heritage and other things, and I've been serving God this way now for over 50 years. It's just as fresh today as it was the first. I couldn't wait to get here to share this evening with you. First of all, if you're not enjoying your walk with the Lord, check your commitment first and then check what you're doing. You may not be doing the right job. And by the way, your good pastor here, don't expect him to be able to do everything. He's only gifted in a few areas. Turn him loose in those areas of ministry where he has strength and interest and passion, and he will never get tired. And the other jobs that he has that he is not cut out for, let somebody else take that over. Amen? A lot of things will get done. All right, let me close tonight with the song that I heard many years ago. And I said, Lord, if I only get to record one more song, I want it to be this one. My salvation is important to me, but it's only a drop in the bucket compared to the whole plan that God put together. It's universal. What he's done for us is going to affect the whole universe. Amen? This says, one more time, we'll do it. From a throne to a manger to a cross to a grave. Folks, you've been such a blessing. Thank you so much.
All right. If you would, bow your heads with me. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for providing Jeff the health to sing and to share his passion and how you love him so much. May this ministry, worship ministry, and worship evangelism continue. And please bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.